If you didn't recognize that music, well, you're obviously not a fan of Star Wars, or you've sort of missed the last millennium. That was, of course, music by John Williams from the original Star Wars film. And that is by way of introduction to the first segment of Live and Local today. Our program is your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. The second segment, which I will tell you about first, is about a production of the musical Peter Pan by a number of children and young adults with various types of disabilities in Normal, Illinois. It's a program of the Penguin Project of McLean County. And we'll tell you all about that when we talk with the artistic director of that program, who is also the stage director for the production. Her name is Tricia Stiller. And that's a pretty fascinating story we'll be hearing later on in the show. We'll also be hearing, of course, some music from Peter Pan with the wonderful Mary Martin. But first, we'll be talking about the first of two concerts happening this summer, or really pre-summer, in the case of the first one by the Urbana Pops Orchestra, with their co-directors and also with the composer whose music will be featured on this first concert. The concert is called That's No Moon, an evening of space-inspired music, hence the Star Wars connection, although I'm told that that music won't actually be on the concert, which is really too bad because it's so much fun. But it's actually sort of hard to find unless you go out and spend a lot of money on the John Williams editions of the music. That's sort of insider conductor talk music programmer talk, because they're the ones to get if you've got a major professional orchestra and a major professional orchestra's budget. In any event, my guests are Daniel Sutherland and Stephen Larson, and I'll let you introduce your colleague here in just a moment. So, gentlemen, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us, Kevin.
First of two concerts, I said. This one is happening on Saturday, 7 o'clock, the Urbana High School Auditorium, and they're still newly renovated auditorium, I think we can say that. Is this the first year? Or are we in the second year that it's been
around? They opened
around?
They had it ready for their fall musical in October.
So this is, but this is the first, just finished the first school year I still haven't seen it yet, I'm sorry to say.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
And an acoustic improvement over the first one, or the previous one, I hope?
Well, we haven't played in there yet, so.
Haven't heard?
We'll get to see. We've seen several shows in there already. We saw Chicago in the fall and Honk this spring. So
how'd it sound?
It sounded pretty good for the musicals, but we haven't. I haven't heard personally an orchestra in there yet. Have you? You played in there?
I played there. Well, I played. I directed the local youth orchestra there many years ago, which is how I know it wasn't acoustically impressive, let's say, at the time. But in any event, that's where the concert's going to be on Saturday, and then they have another one, which we'll talk about in early July, that's going to be at July 6th. Will that be the same place?
Yeah.
Yeah, that will also be there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so an evening of space-inspired music. What inspired you to do a space-inspired program?
My obsession was Star Wars, I think. My private obsession was Star Wars.
Oh, we need to hear about that then, I guess.
Ever since I was a child, my dad liked Star Wars. I've watched it only about a billion times for each film. It's been a big part of my entertainment life, I suppose. And we actually did the main title from Star Wars our very first year. You might remember when we first met 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. We did the main title from Star Wars, and now we're kind of looking forward to revisiting it. We had a lot of fun our first year. We've gotten things together, and we've improved a lot as an ensemble, and I think it's time for us to revisit that that great music and really let it shine a little bit and with a newer sound that we have. So we're really excited about it.
So talking about newer sounds, this is your third or fourth?
This will be our fourth season.
Fourth season. Mm-hmm. I did see that, I just looked over the roster briefly, at least as it's listed on your website, and you're having a guest concertmaster for this one?
Yeah, actually, for the next few concerts, we'll have some of our players from our Violin 1 section rotate through the chair. They're all really great players. I'm proud of all of them. They're embody the kind of sound that you would expect from that position. And they're just really talented players, and they're really fun to work with too, because they're constantly asking me questions about the music and how they can best interpret it for the section and things like that, which is really great when you get to collaborate with the musicians you're working with, when it's kind of you're both owning it a little bit. So,
but the principle, as least as I've understood it in the past, is that there are a number of professionals,
right? Yeah,
in the orchestra, mm-hmm. and then some who are local, I guess you could say, semi-professionals,
sure.
or simply amateurs, yeah. and then a number of students.
Right. Yeah. It's one of the most important things about our group is our educational mission. And the idea is that we have a staff of really talented educators and players. They sit next to a lot of times they're private students or they're students in school, and they provide on-the-job training. We run rehearsals just like a rehearsal would be run with a professional orchestra, which is not something that I knew a lot about when I got to college and I was playing with orchestras. I didn't know what to expect from a professional rehearsal. So I feel like we're giving a lot as far as the expectations of a professional musician, the fact that you're expected to be there at the first rehearsal with your music already learned. It's we do three rehearsals for every one of our concerts, which means we don't have time to learn the notes and learn the music. So the expectation is that they come prepared to the first rehearsal, and we work on music and interpretational things and not, learning notes and learning runs and things like
an
that.
An ensemble and how to actually bring it together.
Right, yeah.
And do you find, this would be telling tales on your own orchestra, but do you find that, in fact, most players do come with the music learned? Or because instrumentalists are often really good at this, do some of them come and sight read it and just do a really good job?
Well, yeah, so some of them do. And I think that's something that's been improving a little bit throughout the last couple of years of us doing it, is that I think just people are very excited about the literature, so they grab the music as soon as they can. They practice it. And now, I mean, for example, I'm stoked about the concert coming up because everyone had their folder. They picked up their folders within the first couple of weeks of us putting them out like a month ago. And so I know that they're excited about it, which is going to make the music making experience a lot better. So,
do you think that might be because they all have not, perhaps, secret sessions with the music of Star Wars also?
It's not music you get. I mean, you were talking earlier about how expensive it is, and it's actually not only is it expensive, but it's quite difficult too.
Are you using the John Williams arrangement?
Yeah,
the John Williams editions.
Yep, that was actually brought to us by a grant by the.
I know it has the word Illinois in it.
We're awful at this. I'm sorry. The East Central or Community Foundation of East Central Illinois.
There you got it.
Sorry, and if any of them are listening, I apologize. But we wrote a grant last year for music. They gave us actually quite a bit of money for it. It is very expensive music, but it's worth every cent, and it presents a really appropriate challenge for our students as well. And just the knowledge, knowing that you're actually playing the music that the musicians were using when they recorded the film score. That's exciting. Like, it's really cool that you get to play the same music. So I think everyone's just really excited about it. It's just cool music.
Well, let's just hear another example. I think you had told me you are playing Princess Leia's theme.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is music that I don't think I'd know by that name, but people will probably know from listening to it. It's, of course, John Williams' music for Star Wars, which will be played by the Urbana Pops Orchestra on Saturday's concert in Urbana. That's music you may or may not recognize from Star Wars. I certainly recognize this bit that I just am fading out on. Music by John Williams. It's known as Princess Leia's theme, and it'll be played by Urbana Pops Orchestra on Saturday's concert at the Urbana High School Auditorium. Concert starts at 7 o'clock. This concert, called That's No Moon, An Evening of Space-Inspired Music, also features what I gather is a new feature for the orchestra, which is to say a composition contest. And the young composer is with us. Stephen Larson is co-director of the or associate conductor, or whatever your term is, of the orchestra. You want to introduce, tell us about the contest, and then introduce your colleague here.
Well, this is the first year for us doing this composition contest, and it really comes from our educational mission, where we want to give young composers a chance to have their music, first of all, adjudicated by professional composers, and then to be performed by a real group of professional players, because they don't get a chance to... I know I didn't, as a kid, get a chance to have my music played by a professional orchestra. I would have killed to have that happen. But this is a new experience for us, and it's our first time doing it. And we had a bunch of really talented kids submit works, and Daniel's work was one that really stood out amongst the other compositions, and the judges really enjoyed it. And we've worked together to make it something that is going to be really awesome to put on that concert.
Daniel is Daniel Stelzer.
Yes.
Daniel, where are you from? How old are you? What grade are you in?
Oh, I'm from here in Urbana. I'm 16. I go to University Laboratory High School.
And when did you start writing music?
Well, I've liked music for a long time. I think the first time I really started writing music was in like fourth, fifth grade for some of my friends and I who had just started taking string classes.
And you were taking what instrument?
Violin.
And I know you play piano also.
Yeah.
Do you compose at the piano?
Or
do you compose in your head, or a combination?
Usually I come up with a theme in my head. I'll try playing things out on the piano, but in this case, it didn't really work because there were so many different parts that had to fit together. I couldn't play them all at once. So I used a computer program that will... I'll give it the music, and it'll play a synthesized version of it so I can tell sort of how it'll sound.
Well, I would think that would be kind of a neat way to go about it, where you can... say to yourself or to the computer, I want this to sound on a horn, and I suppose you might hear it on the horn and think, oh, maybe that wasn't a good idea. Let's put it on some other instrument. Does that sort of thing happen a lot as you were doing this piece?
Yeah. The instrumentation was one of the last things I did, but also one of the hardest parts because after that, adjusting anything, keeping all of the instruments fitting together was very difficult. You know, I'd change something slightly, and then the melody wouldn't sound right because I'd forgotten to adjust the English horn part, or I'd...
Meaning the key of the English horn or something?
Yeah, something like that. It was difficult trying to keep track of what each instrument was doing at a certain point, keep them all fitting together once I'd started doing the instrumentation.
I don't know that we've said so far, what is the name of the piece that you wrote...
I called the piece Cold Moonlight.
And did you have the theme of this concert? Were you given that ahead of time? Or is this just coincidental that it could certainly fit, sort of fit a space theme?
I was given the theme of Space, a Musical Frontier for the contest.
Which sort of implies Star Trek somehow.
Yeah.
Now, there's a certain name that I've told is Trekker.
Trekkie.
So I thought I heard somewhere that Trekkie was wrong, but that could be wrong. It sounds like it is wrong, because I've always heard Trekkie. So are you one of those people?
Not really. I mean, I've seen the Star Wars movies. I haven't seen very much Star Trek, but I know a bit about it.
And how long is this piece for full orchestra or some subset of the orchestra?
It's for... most of the orchestra, I suppose.
Almost for full instrumentation.
And about how long?
I actually don't remember. It was, I think it was a bit over 5 minutes when it was played synthesized. So it should be somewhere around there when
Could end up being longer, I would imagine, because these folks will play it with feeling, whereas the synthesizer goes, you know, quite metronomically. Right. So I know you said you have three rehearsals. Have they started yet?
They haven't actually. Well, our student rehearsals have. We do meet with our younger players a couple of times, just to kind of, especially our newer students who haven't played with us before, just so we can kind of become acquainted. But our actual full ensemble rehearsals start on Wednesday.
So you have heard this piece, or at least part of this piece, not on a MIDI.
Right. Well, actually, I'm not conducting the piece. Stephen is.
Oh, Stephen is.
Yeah, Stephen's one that's.
Well, so that you've heard the piece, somewhat, not on a MIDI.
I don't think we have done it.
I don't think it's. Yeah, it hasn't come up yet in our rehearsal. Sorry, Daniel. We like it a lot.
Well, then I can't. Then my next question will have no answer yet, which was going to be whether Daniel wrote really hard music for everybody to play or not.
Well, we can answer that.
You can, yeah, just sure, by, from looking
yeah,
at
the,
it. Yeah.
The, I think one of the coolest things that I've studied it a little bit, the coolest thing about what we've experienced through our composition contest is how much one learns in the way of orchestration. And I think that's one of the most interesting things about the piece are different colors that are used and things like that. And I think it won't be monumentally challenging for the orchestra as far as technique goes. But where you talk about colors and things like that, I think it'll be more challenging than you would assume.
Daniel, when you wrote the piece, did you have any other composers in mind who you particularly admire? Did you have any other pieces in mind, or did this come completely from scratch from your head?
Well, I've always really liked John Williams' music, the music from Star Wars and other things like that. I was thinking, when I think about, you know, music related to space, generally, I think there are some famous pieces that sound like very epic and triumphant. You know, the main theme from Star Wars, the theme from the original series of Star Trek. But then there are also sometimes some pieces that are kind of softer and kind of more wistful. And that's what I kind of went for here, like John Williams, the binary sunset theme from the original Star Wars movie.
Which I certainly don't know by name. Probably recognizes the music.
That's the music whenever the Force is being used, that horn, that slow horn solo, you know. Stephen almost whistled it.
I almost whistled it, yes I did.
Almost did? We go right ahead.
Bum, 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 that one.
Yep. Oh, that's it? Okay, yep. All right. Yeah, wouldn't have known that.
The strings coming. Right.
They sound better than that, but yeah.
Yes, they do.
Tells you how much I analyze the movie music that I didn't realize that was always played when the Force is being used. So now I have to listen with a different ear. I imagine, Andrew, that it's very difficult to think space music and not think Star Wars or Star Trek.
Yeah, I also listened to the Planets by Holst,
which is on this program, Three
of
the Movements,
which I read had inspired some of the Star Wars music.
I think that will be very clear when we finish this conversation,
sure.
When we kind of play part of it that sounds like Star Wars. Williams was clearly channeling more than a little of Gustav Holst in this. We're talking about the Urbana Pops Orchestra concert of space-inspired music that's happening Saturday at 7 o'clock at Urbana High School Auditorium, including music from Star Wars by John Williams, music from The Planets by Gustav Holst, and music by Daniel Stelzer, which is called what?
Cold Moonlight.
You said that already, Cold Moonlight. And Daniel is the first winner of the first composition contest sponsored by the Urbana Pops Orchestra. My guests for this portion of Live and Local have been Daniel Sutherland and Stephen Larson, who are associate conductors, so conductor and associate conductor. They're co-conductors, co-directors, co-leaders of the Urbana Pops and have been since its founding 4 years ago now. It's their fourth season. We'll talk about the July 6th concert later on. Tickets are available at International Galleries, which is in Lincoln Square Mall, or Lincoln Square, it's called something else technically,
Village,
Lincoln Square Village, or you can get them through urbanapops.org, and ticket price is certainly very reasonable. Thank you, gentlemen, all three of you, for joining us on the show today, and have a lot of fun as you prepare the concert.
Daniel,
especially, enjoy hearing your composition prepared.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for a conversation about the Penguin Project of McLean County as they prepare the musical Peter Pan. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring the new exhibit, The James Bond Theme, Music to Live, Die, and Love, Another Day. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. And that's the opening music to Gustav Holst's The Planets, and it's called Mars, the Bringer of War. This performance given by the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Sir Charles McCarris. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and now for something completely different.
Peter, where do you live? It's a secret place. Please tell me.
Forever.
That song comes from the musical Peter Pan, the one that originally starred Mary Martin in the title role and also Cyril Richard as Captain Hook. 1954 was the first Broadway production. It won both of those actors Tony Awards. And it's been on TV. It's been revived many times, currently happening as we speak on a tour with Kathy Rigby in the title role, still running that one, playing in that role after many years. And this is the show that is this year's production of the Penguin Project of McLean County. And we certainly will explain in just a moment what that is as we talk with Tricia Stiller, who is the artistic director for the Penguin Project. I've talked with her in the past also as artistic director for the McLean County Diversity Project. She's also executive director at the Downtown Bloomington Association, as well as reviewing entertainment events for the News Gazette. Still, Tricia, do you do that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you keep yourself busy with lots of things having to do with the nonprofit world, the entertainment world, and especially theater.
Yes, I sure do, and I love it. It's a labor of love for me.
Well, thanks for joining us on the program. You've been doing the Penguin Project since 2008, is that right?
That is correct. We are celebrating our fifth year as a group here in McLean County, so this is our fifth production, and we are celebrating that fact by adding, for the very first time, a live orchestra to the mix. So those of you who have come to see us in the past, this is something brand new. We've always used pre-recorded music, but this year we thought we had the kids had proven that they were more than ready for a new challenge. So we have added a new full orchestra to this year's production.
So let's talk about the Penguin Project. It actually started in Peoria, and you guys are the first satellite satellite group, as it were. Why don't you just tell us what the Penguin Project is and where does that name come from?
Absolutely. And you are correct. The program was created by our founder, Dr. Andrew Morgan, who is a developmental specialist pediatrician in the Peoria area, tops in his field, who just happened to also be quite the theater aficionado and very experienced in the Peoria community theater circuit. And he had been looking for a way to assist his patients in ways to be successful both socially and creatively. And he happened upon the performing arts. And boy, I don't think even he anticipated what a wonderful outlet it would be for our participants. We do work with individuals with various disabilities, ranging in age from 10 to 24. And it's a mentorship program. So we partner all of our artists with disabilities with a peer mentor who serves as their rehearsal buddy, their study buddy throughout the process from the audition phase all the way through the live performance. And truly, lifelong friendships are formed, and that's a wonderful side benefit of this program. Dr. Morgan very wisely named us the Penguin Project because if you take a look at the penguin, basically it's a bird who cannot fly and has had to adapt to the talents that it has in order to thrive and be successful in his world, and that's exactly what we do. We have a number of successes that far outweigh those challenges that we have been dealt, and we meet every obstacle that's placed before us with a smile on our face and a song in our heart.
And how are kids chosen? Well, I say kids, but, you know, when you're 24, you're not really a kid anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So how are participants chosen for to participate in the project overall and then for the specific musical? Or are those entirely working together?
Well, we have to set a number. Like this year, we have 90 children participating, and that's a lot for any stage to hold. So we're going to set a cap. We're not going to accept more than that. It's been quite a challenge to work with that many. However, all who are interested will be invited to participate, barring, of course, that we don't exceed that number. And we want this to be as real of a musical theater experience as we possibly can make it. So the participants go through an audition process where they have to sing for us and speak for us. And then we, the staff and I, you know, just kind of observe, just like I would in any other theater setting, you know, personality traits that best match the characters that we will be representing on stage. And then we just kind of match the artist with the role and work to bring those characters to life. So it is an extended rehearsal period. We work for 3 months as opposed to 6 weeks. So we do have extra time getting this together. But again, they are put through the same process that any other theater group would be put through. And they do it, and they do it very well. In fact, the artists are always much braver than their mentors are. Mentors get a little nervous, but artists are never afraid to try. It's a wonderful thing.
So are both the artists and the mentors on stage at the same time?
Yes, they are. We do that for a couple of reasons. Some of our artists have a need for hands-on assistance because of a physical limitation, so their mentor is there to assist with transitions and scene changes. And then also they're there to, you know, help every one of us get stage fright. So if you should forget a line or forget a song lyric, your mentor is there to whisper it in your ear for you and keep the show going. So, and it gives the mentors an opportunity to celebrate their participation. They're not just there to work, but they also get to enjoy the musical theater experience.
So do the mentors have to audition as well?
They do. because we want to make sure that the artist and the mentor pairing that we come up with are compatible, similarly in their, you know, in their ability to be expressive. And so we take a really close look and we find the right partners for the job.
So I'm interested in knowing how this, how the relationship works a little bit, and also how some of the actors perhaps manage the roles. Is it okay to talk about the particular disability that the person playing Peter Pan is dealing with?
Sure. It's a young lady playing the role, and well, she has a number of challenges that face her. Primarily, she has a little bit of cerebral palsy, which gives her limited mobility, especially on one side of her body. But that doesn't even slow her down, truly. She's also hearing impaired, so she has needs to wear a hearing aid, and has a little bit of some difficulty with speech, but not any that she works very hard to get the job done for us. And she's an incredible young woman. She's also quite a gifted writer and very creative and very wise beyond her years. So again, that's a heap for any of us to have to endure, and she's got all three, and it doesn't even faze her.
And I gather she has a very nice voice.
She does, and a personality to boot. We're very thrilled to have her in the role.
So what sort of things does the mentor do for her as she's performing the role of Peter Pan?
Well, if you're familiar with the show, and I'm sure that you are, there's the shadow. Peter Pan's shadow plays a very important role, and Allie's mentor will actually be costumed as a shadow, and they share an onstage dance together. And then in the other scenes, she will be, when Peter Pan is in Neverland, her mentor will be costumed as one of the lost boys, which we call lost ones because we have mixed genders there. So we have the lost ones in Neverland. So her mentor will be costumed as one of the youngsters that hang out with Peter Pan. So she'll be right there where Peter needs her.
And what sorts of things has Peter needed so far?
Really just support in their off time. Peter and her mentor have worked to study lines. They've also devoted a lot of after hours for additional practice. It's a heavy load for any actor, regardless of the life challenges you may or may not face, to carry the weight of a musical. So these two young ladies have put in a great deal of extra time together. Like I said, studying lines together, working on movement together, and just really supporting one another. Both have been participants from our very first production and have become quite good friends.
Let's hear a song that Peter Pan sings in the show. It comes pretty early on, and it's called I've Got a Crow, and this is a particular sound that Peter Pan makes when he's expressing exuberance, I guess.
Yes, and a great deal of confidence.
Which seems to be symbolically appropriate for this particular production and conversation.
Wendy, look! My shadow! My very own shadow! It's only a shadow!
Yes, but it's all mine. Oh, I'm clever. Oh, the cleverness of me that I gotta let go.
You just heard Mary Martin in the role of Peter Pan from way back in the 50s, I think, that recording was made from mm-hmm. the Broadway production. And that particular role is going to be played by Allie. Can we say her last name?
Absolutely. Allie Davis is the young actress's name, and she will knock your socks off.
as part of the Penguin Project of McLean County's production of the musical happening this weekend. My guest here on Live and Local, this portion of the show, is Tricia Stiller, who's directing the production. She's also artistic director for the Penguin Project. What have been your particular challenges as director? I assume you've been directing the production all these years since 2008, whichever the musical is?
For the last 4 years, I have been. Like I said, this is our fifth year as a group. I was brought in year two, and it's just been a phenomenally rewarding experience and group to be a part of.
What are some things that you have to do perhaps differently when you're directing sort of a double cast in a way of mentor and artist versus, say, directing regular community theater, if anything different?
I think, you know, that's a really good question. The biggest challenge for me is presenting information in a way. I mean, many of our participants have different ways of learning. So it's very, you know, in a traditional setting, I could just spew, for lack of a better word, just give my direction, and it would be processed and understood. But with the 90 participants we're working with, and this situation, it's a little different. So I have to be aware of my tone of voice, my demeanor. Some of our participants are extra sensitive, and I certainly don't want anyone to be uncomfortable. The most important thing to me, and the best way to tell a good story, is to make sure we keep the fun in it. And so the biggest challenge for me is to not let my inner frustrations or my inner fears be obvious from the outside, because the children can often misunderstand and think I'm upset or think that I'm angry, and so that's difficult, because you know we're all human, and sometimes I may have had a bad day at the office, and by the time I get to rehearsal, I may not be in the most cheerful frames of mind, and so I have to be very sensitive to that and how I present myself so as to optimize the ability for the kids to have success. And that's not always as easy as I'd like it to be. but I would say that's my biggest challenge.
Do you have a background of any kind in some sort of special education?
Only peripherally. For several years, I've worked as a paraprofessional or a classroom aide for both Bloomington's District 87 and also the Baby Folds Hammett School. So I have several years of hands-on experience with individuals with special needs, but I'm certainly not. I don't have my degree in that area, but I'm very thankful for those early years, my early professional years, where I did have that, because it certainly does help me combine my years and years of being involved in the performing arts, and makes me better able to manage the tasks at hand with the Penguin Project.
So do you need a mentor?
Well, I am very blessed with a phenomenal staff, and we truly are a well-oiled machine. I have a wonderful producer, a wonderful administrative team, wonderful choreographer, and new this year, a conductor for my music. We just work very, very well together. And I also have a team of mentor coordinators and advocates who work very hard to make sure that the mentors get the support that they need, because sometimes their artist presents them with situations that they normally don't encounter. You know, for example, for lack of a better explanation or specific explanation, you know, we can have temper tantrums or meltdowns, and so the mentor advocates are there to provide strategies for the mentors and help them become better able to handle any situation that might arise.
So these are folks who are trained mm-hmm. to some extent, and I imagine in different ways to work with different types of people or with people with different types of disabilities.
Right, right. We have a plethora of areas represented. We have a couple of folks that are very involved in Special Olympics and through the SOAR program that our Parks and Rec offers, which is special opportunities available through recreation. And we also have educational partners in both Normals Unit 5 and Bloomington's District 87, members of the staff. And of course, our parents are our biggest advocates and our biggest support system, because they are the ones who not only provide us with the information we need to help their youngsters be successful, but are there at home to support us and support their youngsters so that we can all reach the goal that we share, which is to have a successful musical theater production.
And that production is of the musical Peter Pan by the Penguin Project of McLean County, which is a program that provides opportunities for young people with disabilities of various types to participate in community theater. The performances will be on Saturday and Sunday at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 2 o'clock at University High School in Stroud Auditorium on the Illinois State University campus in Normal. And if you want more information, what is the best thing to do, Tricia?
Well, tickets are available in advance through Bloomington Parks and Recreation, and you can call that number, which I'm frantically scrambling to get for you. That number is area code 309-434-2260. Tickets are $10 general admission or $5 for youth, and again available through Bloomington Parks and Rec in advance, or they will be available at the door.
Tricia Stiller is artistic director for the Penguin Project of McLean County. She's also directing this production, and I appreciate very much your taking the time to tell us about it.
Well, thank you, Kevin. We appreciate your support. You're always such a wonderful advocate for the performing arts, and we're very grateful.
And here is what also seems like an appropriate song, given the context. It's I'm Flying with Peter Pan, Wendy, John, and Michael, all performing here on Live and Local.
All clear.
Come on. Peter, can you really fly?
I'll teach you.
Oh, how lovely to fly.
I'll teach you how to jump on the wind.
I'm flying.
More from Mary Martin from the 1954 Broadway production of Peter Pan. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I want to clarify the information regarding the performances of Peter Pan by the Penguin Project of McLean County. I have some conflicting information, and I got it straightened out as we were listening to that talking with Patricia Stiller. Here is the official scoop. The dress rehearsal Pay What You Can performance is Thursday, June 6th at 7 o'clock. And the official performances are Friday and Saturday, June 7th and 8th, at 7 o'clock, and Sunday, June 9th, at 2 o'clock. There is no Sunday evening performance, as I think I may have indicated earlier in the conversation. So again, Thursday, Pay What You Can, 7 o'clock. Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock. Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, all performances at University High School, Stroud Auditorium on the Illinois State University campus in Normal. Hope that clears that up. And our broadcast today is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts and performance and presentation. Our next community cinema film, Love Free or Die, shares the story of Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church. His story parallels the conversations in America about whether gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people are equal to heterosexuals in the eyes of God, and whether LGBT people are entitled to equal status under the law. Join us for the free public screening at the Maine Champaign Public Library, Tuesday, June 11th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 5 o'clock.